This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be on adjudication in property and construction disputes. I am joined by Senior Barrister Tim Sampson from Lamb Chambers in London. Tim is head of the construction team at Lamb Chambers, and he is regularly instructed to deal with complex construction disputes with significant technical or expert evidential issues, including adjudications and in the High Court. He also has substantial experience in relation to domestic building disputes, with a particular emphasis on dealing with cases through mediation and ADR. Tim also lectures and writes on specialist areas of the law, and for a number of years taught on professional training courses run by BPP University. Tim, thank you so much for joining me today.
Always a pleasure, Hattie, as you know.
Yes, always a pleasure to have you too. So let's tell our listeners what we're talking about here. And I'm going to say it just so that people can bear with us. We are going to talk about, to begin with, what the Housing Grants Construction and Regeneration Act 1996 is all about. But it's linked into adjudication. So just bear with Tim, bear with me, and hear us out. So tell us about that, please, Tim.
Well, the Act, which is a bit of a mouthful, as you've just shown, basically, as far as we're concerned, it created this new thing called adjudication. Up to then, disputes got resolved basically through the courts or something called, if you're in business of construction, the official referees court, which was hopeless. It was taking years for cases to even start in that process. So the government decided there had to be a much better and quicker way to resolve construction disputes. And hence the new adjudication system that was created within the structure of the Act. There's a lot of other good stuff in the Act. We don't really care about that for today's purposes. That deals with all sorts of other issues. But what we want to look at is adjudication.
Yes, indeed. And so nicely put. I mean, we say 1996, and being the ripe old age that I am, that doesn't feel that long ago. But as I go on to my later years and I see that people are born in the 90s, I am starting to feel incredibly old. But, you know, it is now. How many years ago is that? 26 years ago?
Yes, the first adjudications actually came into effect 2 years after the Act was passed. The process took a little time to get up and running.
Of course it did. Of course it did.
I remember doing one in the fourth week that the Act came into effect in 1998.
Nobody,
both lawyers on both sides, had a clue what adjudication was about. Ooh. Because it's this entirely new thing.
Yeah. Indeed. So we're going to talk... Sorry, Tim. Tell us, in layman's terms, what is adjudication, Tim?
Adjudication, at its simplest, is a very rapid dispute resolution process that allows for parties during the course of a contract and at the end, so at any time a dispute arises, to get it resolved quickly. The adjudicator will be trained. They may be a lawyer. They may not be, because sometimes building disputes don't require a particularly legalistic approach. For example, the issue may be an extension of time. Well, the contract will say that you can have an extension of time. It's the practical reality of getting that extension and why you're entitled to it is the issue. So you need someone who is more of an expert on how building sites operate. Or if it's a quantity surveyor, they can work out how much something should have cost to build by looking at the bricks, the nails, the planking, the steelwork. Those are not legal issues. Those are get your notepad out and add it up.
It's more of an expert being able to say, right, you know, with that type of build, this is what's likely to happen. I can understand why you need more time, rather than, as you say, the lawyer sort of saying, oh, well, in the law, it constitutes that the contract should say X, Y, and Z. Something you said there's really interesting. You said during the actual contract as well. So whilst the contract is being executed, so whilst the work is being done. So adjudication is not actually for if you've come to the end of the road, the contract hasn't been executed properly, and it's literally issuing to recover costs. Or losses, rather. So it can be used to assist parties during a process. That's really interesting.
Well, this is one of the great advances of the scheme, is that the Act makes clear it's at any time. So if a builder, let's say the contract lasts a year and the builder's entitled to put a bill in every 4 weeks, standard payment process. If a dispute arises in month six, the builder doesn't then have to wait, or the paying party doesn't have to wait right to the end of the contract to get that issue resolved. If one side says, I'm owed £100,000, and the other side says, oh no, you're not, it's 30. They don't have to dispute it, but if the dispute has arisen, they can then refer that to an adjudicator. And it means that can be resolved before you get to the end of the contract, rather than what you had in the past, which was contract lasts 12 months, you get to the end of the contract, there's then a dispute on the final bill, and off you go to court or the official referee or whoever's dealing with it. This way, you can deal with it immediately. And as we'll explore, adjudication is very quick. Start to finish is about 6 weeks.
Yeah, that is quick. Anything to do in the law that's 6 weeks is very quick.
And because that's always going to be a bit rough and ready. If you don't like the outcome of your adjudication decision, you're not bound by it forever. You do have to pay first, but you can then go to the Technology and Construction Court and say, I've got this adjudicated decision. It is wrong. I now dispute it. But for the purposes of the adjudication process, you pay up, you then go and complain to the court. The idea is there is just a process by which you can actually have disputes resolved during the course of a contract, and at the end if you want as well, because it's at any time. But it means that projects don't grind to a halt with disputes that remain unresolved. I'm entitled to more time. I'm entitled to loss and expense. I'm entitled to this. I want more money.
No, look, I completely agree. Because, and I was just going to say, because normally what could happen is there are various contractors brought in for a build. And I'm talking about both domestic and commercial. So if you have a dispute with one contractor who's a part of that process, it could and probably would have, if the work's grinded to a halt, as you so well put it, have a domino effect on everything. And then then perhaps contractors that you've booked in to start on a certain date can't start. They then suffer losses, and it can just be enormous. So really, this process, it could be a great process that, as you say, is quick, 6 weeks. I mean, it's incredibly quick for any legal process. And any arguments and disagreements to try and be resolved by an independent party. Okay, so let's talk about homeowners. If you're a homeowner, you've got a dispute with your builders, your builder on a construction, on a big job, extension of some kind. It might be a loft, a side extension, rear extension, could be anything. Can homeowners use the adjudication process?
They can use it, but you've got to be careful. The Housing Grants Construction Regeneration Act forces commercial clients. So if you're a commercial builder working on a development site, adjudication is written into the contract whether you like it or not, because the law says it has to be there, because it's such a good idea. You can't simply bypass it by writing it out of the contract. For occupiers, that is someone who lives in the property as an occupier or intends to live in that property as an occupier, adjudication isn't forced on you. However, it can be put into the contract that you sign with your builder. There's no exclusion, it just won't be automatically included. So if you are a domestic or occupier, be careful when you get a contract from a builder, because it can include adjudication. And you might think, oh, adjudication, that's some sort of dispute resolution process. I won't worry about that. We're not going to have problems anyway. Well, point one, all building projects go wrong. And if there's a process in there that you don't understand, the chances are that it's going to be weighted against you because you won't know how to deal with it. And if you do know how to deal with it, you're always going to be on the back foot because the builder normally has the whip hand in these situations because...
they are the builder. They're the ones doing the work. But hold on, Tim, you said something there that just sparked my interest. You said if adjudication is written into a contract as a homeowner that you're signing with a builder that's going to do your work on your property, be concerned. Isn't it a good thing that it should be in the contract?
Well, I actually think that adjudication can, in domestic circumstances, be a good thing so long as the homeowner understands that that is something they may face. It has the huge advantage that the standard adjudication procedure is not a costs-based system like the court. You go to court, you lose, you pay the other side's costs and your costs. If you're dealing with an adjudication, the standard route is you pay your own costs. So it incentivizes both parties to be realistic about what they're spending because they know they're not going to recover it. And so all you're left to do is the losing party will normally pay the adjudicator's costs. But again, they are a fraction of what you would end up paying if you were in court.
No, indeed.
So from that perspective, it's good from the homeowner's perspective because if you get involved in even a minor argument over money with the builder, it ends up in the county court. The money that can be spent dealing with it and the time and the effort is enormous. The caveat, though, and it is a big caveat, is the speed with which you have to deal with an adjudication.
It's fast, is what we're saying.
Kicks it off either side. That gives a 7-day window to refer the adjudication to the adjudicator. So that happens. You as the responding party have between 7 and, if you're lucky, an extended 10-day period to get your defence in. There then may be a reply, and 2 weeks later the adjudicator gives their decision, possibly extended if necessary because it's complicated, but no more than 28
but,
days.
But Tim, I would say that it's a good thing to have adjudication in your contract, surely, because I know what you're saying. I know you're saying that, look, there are costs involved with it, but then it's going to be far less costly to have an adjudication and bring you a much quicker result than any court issue can do. And also, if you're in the middle of your build and your construction, your domestic dispute with your builder, then surely it's better to get a resolution so everybody can carry on and finish the job rather than it comes to a definitive halt and you have to then go all, you know, go marching into issuing court applications, particularly as a result of the backlogging in hearings that are taking place because of the pandemic and the court system has to catch up with all of that. So I still say it's got to be a good thing that it's in your contract, surely.
Well, yes. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it for the most minor building works, but if you're, say, having an extension built where you're probably spending 30, 40, 50,000...
And upwards,
then you should certainly give thought to it. And I know we're not supposed to use these to plug particular chamber's products. So I'll say a number of construction-focused barrister sets, including my own, offer what are now called fixed-fee, low-rate adjudication cost packages, which means you can go to your barrister and go, I have this...
Direct access. People can come direct access.
I've got this problem. It's a £40,000 dispute. I need one of your fixed-fee packages. Because then
I think that's great.
Your costs under control. And it's not...
So let's just clarify that for people. You could go direct access, for example, to Land Chambers and say, I want one of your fixed fee packages for adjudication because I have a dispute that's not tens and tens and tens of thousands, but enough money to be able to be concerned about resolving this. You do not need to go through a solicitor's firm to go to a barrister directly when there's direct access available. I think that's brilliant. You know me, I'm all over fixed fee. I think people should know what something's going to cost before they sign up to it. And the legal profession, unfortunately, due to hourly billing rates, which exist in most law firms, get away with billing people at the end of the event rather than the fixed fee model. So let's talk about this. Can someone request to have an adjudication with a party, a builder with whom they're in dispute with, if adjudication has not been written into their contract?
You could. It would be a little unusual to do that. You would certainly have to enter into a further agreement to permit the adjudication to go forward. I think you'd have to have a properly signed up agreement.
Saying, so you'd have to mutually agree. So if you went to the builder and said, look, we didn't sign an agreement, or actually we have signed an agreement, whichever, but I'd like to go into an adjudication to resolve these disputes. Agree to do that with me here and sign here to say that you agree so we can go ahead and do it. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, yes, you'd have to do that, but just one cautionary note. We've explained that adjudication is not normally a cost-based system, i.e. you don't get your costs back from the other side if you win. You don't pay their costs if you lose. So long as that's not written into the agreement. If what you have is called an ad hoc costs agreement, where the loser pays, you may well face paying the other side's bills, but that's got to be in writing in advance.
But
don't
then
let anyone slip that into a contract
without you noticing it.
And the very worst contracts I've come across are ones where the builder has written in the party who's instructed them to do the building work will pay for the adjudication in any event. If the builder loses, they still recover their costs.
Cheeky stuff. But
that, I'm afraid, is...
But let me say, sometimes, and I don't know how you can tell me whether this exists or not, but in my mind, I'm thinking sometimes a dispute doesn't necessarily mean a resolution to the dispute doesn't necessarily mean that somebody wins and somebody loses, clear cut. It could be that an arrangement is, you know, there's an alternative to what the person making the application for the adjudication is saying should happen, and the person on the other side of it is saying that should happen. Is that the case? Or with adjudication in construction disputes, it literally is, I would like this to happen, this is my dispute, this is the outcome I want, and this, and then the other side responds to that, and then it's the adjudicator's job to assess that so that there's a clear yes or no answer. Is that how it is?
Well, like all lawyers, I like to say yes and no. for example, it may be that the dispute is over an extension of time, and the builder says, look, it's been raining for 4 weeks, we can't get onto site, and that gives me an entitlement to more time. And the homeowner says, no, actually it's only 2 weeks, or whatever. So it's not that there isn't a problem, it's just the outcome to the problem is seen differently by the two sides. Ultimately, though, there will be a clear winner and a clear loser, because the adjudicator has to make a decision. But that's why the neutral cost position is the appropriate one, because it isn't always right that you would pay as you would in court. If you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. And you pay the other side's costs if you lose. Where in adjudication, you're paying your own costs out of your own pocket, and the other side pay their costs out of their own pocket. So it's a little bit of a different scenario. Yes, there has to be a decision, because the dispute referred requires a decision, unless the adjudicator has no jurisdiction to deal with it, which is a pretty rare situation. So I would say that, yes, there will be a clear winner, but in building disputes, it's more, certainly at an interim stage, getting the job done. It may simply be a question of, I want more time, I want this variation to the contract.
And that's what I was just going to ask you. What kind of
lose?
What? Sorry, Tim. What kind of disputes is appropriate for adjudication? Because I guess lots of people could be asking that. They could be thinking, oh, well, that's gone wrong. Can I go and get an adjudication over that matter to try and get it resolved? So let's talk about what types of disputes people can consider adjudication for.
Really, it's almost anything that can arise under a construction contract. And a construction contract is a fairly broad thing. For example, if your architect makes a mistake, your agreement with the architect is an adjudicatable contract, because it's part of a construction process. So I think it's easier to say you would have to look for the exceptions rather than wondering whether what you have got gone wrong is in fact covered. I mean, there are some big exceptions, but they only cover massive projects. For example, if you're building a power station, you're not within the Act. For most people, they're not building power stations, so they don't need to worry about that power generation exception.
Yes, and I mean, is it designed for really complex claims, or you know, can it relate to breach of, you know, any breach of contract or termination of contract, professional negligence, everything, literally, as you say, everything that can happen or go wrong, or anything that does go wrong in the process of construction, whether it's domestic or commercial.
Yes, I mean, I think people need to appreciate it, this is not, say, on the domestic occupier level, but you can have adjudications for up to tens of millions of pounds.
Wow.
On very complicated cases. And it is a process that is used to get those results because it can be launched at any time.
So I'm going to ask this, okay? The decision that comes out of the adjudicator, is it legally binding?
Yes, it is of temporary finality, to use the words the court like to describe it. If you get an adjudicator's decision, you must comply with it. You can stamp your foot and object to it as much as you like. There are almost no grounds for refusing to comply with it. You have an absolute right to go to the court, or if the contract says an arbitrator, to get a final determination of the dispute. Because, of course, it's a rough and ready process. It's done in a matter of weeks. Adjudicators get things wrong. But
we don't want to say that now, Tim.
Well, we do.
No, I get it. I get it. So you've got, there is a recourse available if you really think, no, this is ridiculous. That decision just should not have gone that way. You can take it elsewhere to try and get it looked at again, basically, is what we're saying, in a more detailed and lengthy time manner.
Yes, because the compromise is between speed and accuracy. So if you're going to have a process that lasts a matter of weeks, you're is always going to be a less detailed process than one that the court goes through. But the court takes months and months and months to deal with it.
I mean, I should imagine that most decisions made at an adjudication are acted upon and the majority are not contested by way of taking it further into the courts. Otherwise, it wouldn't exist. It wouldn't have been in existence since 1996 and 1998, respectively, if it wasn't an effective tool for the construction industry.
No, I mean, parties try and wriggle off paying, but there are, as I say, very few grounds. The first one is there isn't a dispute that's been properly crystallised. There has to be a real dispute for the adjudicator to deal with. But normally the adjudicator will spot that at the outset and says, well, you haven't given me a dispute to rule upon, so go away. I can't deal with this. The ones that might occur once an adjudicator's decision has been made is a lack of jurisdiction. They didn't have the power to make the decision that they came to. For example, they were asked to grant an extension of time and then make a monetary award. Well, they didn't have the power to do that. They were asked for an extension of time.
Right.
Lack of natural justice, which is just basically, did the adjudication take place fairly? So, for example, if one party was allowed to submit secret submissions to the adjudicator, that would make it procedurally unfair, and that would then say, no, you can't have that adjudicator's award. You can't re-adjudicate, so you can't have two adjudications on the same issue. Once it's been dealt with, it's been dealt with, and you can't go back.
That's interesting. But say if somebody defaulted on what was... So say you went to an adjudication and the it was agreed that a certain amount of work was going to be carried out in a certain period of time, and then you got to the end of time and it wasn't carried out. Can you then go back to adjudication to say, well, now I need another decision because what we agreed wasn't executed? Or does it not work like that?
Well, I mean, that would be a situation where you've got an enforceable adjudicator's decision that hasn't been complied with. You could then say that actually there's a further breach which allows me to adjudicate again, but actually you'd be much better off just going to the court and saying, well, we had a decision, it's not being complied with, we want compliance.
Yes. And damages, if there has been any damages. Tim, we've got time to discuss one more area, and it's the biggie. What does adjudication cost?
It can cost whatever you like.
And there's the money shot.
But because you know, if you follow the standard costs rules, that you pay your own costs, you're spending your own money. And there is nothing like spending your own money without hope of getting it back from the other side to bring a lot of realism to how people approach it. And most adjudications are not that complicated. It is normally a, I want £100,000, you're not getting it, the roof's on upside down, you can have 20. It's that sort of level of dispute. I mean, a little
cheeky. We're just giving an example. It
doesn't require vast amounts of legal resource to deal with it.
So are we talking hundreds of pounds? Are we talking thousands, tens of thousands? What's the average?
If you were doing, say, a typical £100,000 adjudication.
Dispute,
I frankly would have thought that if your legal bills exceed more than £4,000 to £5,000 on a simple matter, a billing matter.
£4,000 to £5,000, because I think I heard £45,000 then.
If it's a much more complicated matter that requires, say, expert input, which is not the typical domestic bill situation, then yes, you can spend more. But you should always bear in mind that you'll be paying those bills, and that you should cut your legal cloth to, you know, against the value of the claim that you're bringing or defending.
What I will say there is, going direct access to a set of chambers like Lamb Chambers to say we'd like to come and get a package makes even more sense, because then you know exactly what it's going to cost as a fixed fee. I think fixed fees should be across the board. The other thing is, and you said this at the beginning, just make sure that there isn't a clause there where you're going to bear the costs of the other side, no matter what may come, because it's been sneakily put into the contract and you perhaps were not aware of that. So I think, you know, all of that is really, really helpful and useful. Tim, that's all we've got time for.
Okay.
And it always flies by. It's crazy. 26 minutes already. But we will pick this topic up, and we would most definitely do a part two. And perhaps we can look at other areas of dispute resolution, because I think it's just really useful. Anything to avoid people actually having to go into court and through the court process, which is always lengthy, which is always costly and can be very, very stressful. We need to be talking about it. So thank you ever so much for your time today.
Thank you, Hattie.
And I'll say to our listeners, don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.